Good morning and welcome to Mother's Day. I tell you what, it's just great to have each and every one of you here this morning. We are now live on Facebook too, so that's wonderful. And Don was talking to me a little before the service this morning, and he showed me how to also get this and our Sunday evening program live on not only on BBS Radio Facebook Live, it will also be on shatteredbythedarkness.com. Oh no, Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page live too. So it's going out all across in all kinds of different ways, YouTube and different things that BBS Radio has. I'll tell you what, Don and Doug Newsom at the California radio station have been wonderful people to work with. And I love our relationship and what's going on almost, what? I think a year that we've been almost doing work together, and I want to partner with them every chance I get. So thank you, Don, and thank you, Doug, for your dedication. I'm going to, I see several people on already. I'm going to just wait a few minutes, and I would like for you to text me, because there's a lot of things that's not happening on the page that I see of other people watching in different avenues and different venues. If you just text me and say, hey, I'm on, and that would help me know if we're having problems anywhere in the world, technical world, as if I could fix anything. Who knows? Hey, Amber and Carl. Good to see you guys. I wish I could ask you a question, but I can't. I'll line in front of everybody, but... We got one person on. We got several people on Facebook, so I'm just going to wait a minute or two. Grab your coffee, refill it, doctor it up a little bit. Oh, good. Pat and Anna and the kids are on, so that's always good. Going to have something for the kids. So here in just a second when we get really started, I need all the kids to come up to the screen because I'm going to whisper something to them here in a minute. But so get the kids ready. Get ready to do that. Keep letting me know. We got several on the page. It's a beautiful day in Texas, and the weather is just great out there. And here they come. Here they come. Oh, this makes me happy. Oh, I love it. I love hearing the ding, ding, dings. This is great. Wow. Everybody's coming. Oh, good. April and Doug are here. Picture of them on the piano there getting married. And oh, great. Well, you know, we have people not only in Pearland and Houston and all that. We have people in Texas. We have people in California. We have people in Michigan this morning. We have people. Oh, great. I love this. But see, they're coming in pretty good. We can just kind of look at this here and go round it up and just coming through. And I try to, at the end of the service, just thank people. Sometimes there's so many on there, it's hard. I get them mixed up if you answer questions and more. Wonderful. Deborah, it's good to have you on this morning. I hope you're feeling better. And we've been praying for you. And hope things are going well. Louise Feltz just got out of the hospital yesterday, I believe. And we need to keep praying for her. She's home. And the O'Days and the Hunts are taking care of her down there at her home right now. And ask for prayer. And so we can lift them up. And we want to make sure you remember them. But she's doing a lot better. So that's good. We're getting, I'm starting to feel a comfort zone that's coming into to play. And sometimes that may be dangerous. We're going to give it a few more days and maybe mid part of the week. We're going to decide whether we're going to have church Sunday or the following Sunday. But we are within a week or two of having a couple different services in our church building. I'm kind of wanting to see what the new numbers look like after Texas has relaxed a little bit and had 2 weeks in, because that 2 week period is a great time to be able to figure out. About May 15th is a good way to see if the numbers are spiking or escalating to a higher degree than normal. Some of you have been out, some of you have emailed me and talked to me about you're going out to restaurants and going to stores, shopping and all that. Be careful, please be careful. But I do want to let you know that we're getting close. I'm starting to get antsy, and I know you're getting antsy. Okay, we have a wonderful group. Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to turn this off. Keep texting me, letting me know. I won't have another poll like we did last week. We had like 67% said they're still going to stay at home. That's probably going to drop a little bit this Sunday if I did the same poll. It'll probably be down around half. And maybe in the next week or two, we'll be able to. I thought about doing a drive-in service. So I get on the phone, call a guy that's a professional on this in the area, and he said, oh, sure, we can get you set up on this. We're doing it all over Texas. And I said, okay, well, I want this up there. I want a screen to where people can see. Maybe you can dial in your FM radio stations in your car, and you can just have a drive-in service in the parking lot. At least it would get you out of the house, and we would somewhat be a family. And I said, how much would that cost? And he said, $5,000. I said, you're crazy. I'm going to do it like this. We're not doing it for $5,000. I think it was $4,500 and some change. It's like, no way are we going to do that just to go sit in the car and see me off at a distance or up on a big screen. We can do it right here from our own home, and it's safer that way. And you won't have to leave your cars running to hear I can just see at the end of the service, everybody's cars or batteries are dead because he didn't want to run them and it's been hot and stuff. So we're going to try to come up with a game plan. And I think I have game plans. We've been talking to a lot of different people. The Southern Baptist did a wonderful webinar the other day that I was on. And it's neat to kind of know that you're doing somewhat what the other people are doing, trying to be cautious. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. But just know in the next week or two, we will be back in church unless something happens in the world that I'm not aware of and the numbers spike and everything shut back down. But let's not even say that. So just hang with me. Be tough. Be persistent in prayer that we make the right call. But I'm sure that I'm going to let some more people in here. Sure that we're getting close. Understanding you're going to need to be with a mask. So have a mask. I don't know how I'm going to preach with a mask on. I don't like wearing a mask at all. And I have to at the hospital all the time now. And after you have it on for 10, 15 minutes, it's terrible. I can't imagine having it on for an hour straight. And we'd have to do that in the church service. So we're looking at different options, but next week or two, we're getting close. Okay. So thank you. Okay. So welcome. We want to let you know, Senior Cordell and I was at the auction yesterday, and Senior State, I had to get back to work with Senior State, and we found some carpet for the upstairs of the church building on the children's side, also some tile, more tile for bathrooms, and we're getting good prices on them. So Senior Cordell, thank you so much for your love and your wisdom and your understanding and the way you always just come through, and I appreciate that, and I enjoy it. I wanted to be there all day at the auction, but I got a call. But we got some carpet, I think, that'll work on the children's side upstairs. So that was a good thing. So things are going well there. I want to invite you, too, while everybody's still joining up this morning, tonight's Warriors of Hope is a video like this. You can get the same way you got today's show, except get on BBS Radio and hit that website and that Facebook and that webinar. And the Warriors of Hope is a two-hour video event tonight, and that's going to be really good. So we're going to be on video live around the world, and we're going to have 6-7 guests all at one time, and we're going to talk about wonderful things. If you've been hurt, traumatized, abused, known somebody that needs some help, especially during this time, you're going to get a lot of good wisdom tonight. And that's 8 to 10 o'clock tonight. And yeah, so you're going to be up past your bedtime. But hey, nothing's good on TV anyway. So you might as well come on, and there'll be all the guests that we've had the last 5 weeks. It's really going to be good this evening. Mothers, Want to let you know, happy Mother's Day. I hope you have a great day. I know it's not going to be one of those days where you all get to go rushing out to a restaurant and enjoy the meal together in a nice setting because of what we're in. But I just want to let you know that we love you. Happy Mama's Day, and I hope all the kids, of course, you've probably been with the kids enough. And it's going to be a little different. It'll be one of those Mother's Days that you remember for years to come. I would like to get, if we could, all the kids to come up to the screen, tell Mom to kind of cover her ears right now, because I want to tell the kids what I really want you to do today. So mamas, if you have kids in your home, just do this. You don't have to really push it, but just do this and let the kids come up to the screen and make sure they can hear me, okay? So come on up, kids. Gather around. I want to tell you something that I really think your moms will enjoy. So make sure your mom has her fingers in her ears, okay? Mamas, okay? Got this? All right, good. Hey, kids, this is what I want you to do. Don't worry about going out and spending money on Mom, okay? We know that the stores are shut down and you know, it may not be easy for you to do it. You may be only 4 or 5 and you can't drive yet. So don't take the car and go get a gift, okay? This is what I promise you that your mom would enjoy, okay? First of all, hug her neck today. Go up and run to her and say, Mom, I love you with all my heart, and tell them just why you love them. But for a few minutes today, I want you to get just a blank piece of paper, set down with some markers or ink pens or crayons or something, and write and make a card that tells you what you think of your mom, how much you love your mom. Just something, maybe draw a little flower or a picture of her or a picture of you hugging her or whatever. But get creative. Spend some time on it. Maybe write a poem. But do something that she can keep. I guarantee if you go out and buy her a pair of slippers or something, those are going to wear out and eventually she's going to throw those away. I promise you that if you make something from your heart on a little sheet of paper, that you put your thoughts and love on and then give it to her, she will never throw it away. She will keep it for the rest of her life and maybe even hang it on the refrigerator for the next 2 or 3 months. But kids, just show them that you love them, hug her neck, and be extra, extra nice to her today because she really, really, really works hard for you all year long, okay? Now you can tell your mom to pull her her fingers out of her ears, all right? Kids, do that for Mom and let them know that you love them, okay? This a lot of people get around and they talk and they say, boy, this is a tough sermon to do on Mama's Day. Well, anybody that knows me is typically I don't go with special days on God's Word. I go with what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. We do want to recognize moms and tell them they are special. They are loved. You got to remember to be praying for the mamas that are going through painful times today. This isn't a joyous day for lots of people. It's a painful day. People that had moms that have gone on to heaven before us, that's painful. Those that had moms that maybe aren't as kind as what we was hoping for in life, that's painful because it brings back some of those bad memories. Those moms that have lost their children, one or two of their children, and sometimes this day brings back that memory for those moms. So it's not just a happy get flowers, get a card, and it's a Hallmark day for everybody. So I want to make sure we know that and to be sensitive to that. So, as we celebrate Mother's Day in a different world, just remember them, let them know that they're loved, they're cared for, you are blessed. God had a purpose for those children in your life. You have a purpose for being the mom that you are, and may God just bless you and give you peace in the middle of all of this stuff that's going on around us. So happy Mother's Day, mamas. Okay, get your Bibles, if you will. We're going to jump right in. And God, I don't know. I never know if it's going to be good, bad, or indifferent, but I know as long as we're in God's Word, it's going to be good because God's Word goes out, okay? Get your Bibles. Or cheer. Turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew 11. Speaking of Matthew, my son wrote me this week and emailed me and said that they may be coming down. He has a week off next week or two, so we'll see if he comes down or not. I told him, oh, man, you really want to come down? We won't be able to do anything but just get in the house and spend. I'd love to do that, but we'll see if that all works out the next week or two. Love to see him, the two little grandbabies. They're not grandbabies now. They're grandkids. I mean, they're grown now, but that'll be great to see them from Nashville. Matt and Adisa, and the two kids. Matthew 11. You know, this is a scripture that I need right now at this time. And I don't know about you, but I think every now and then you just want to go to the balcony, maybe of your house, and just scream out, come to Jesus. You need Jesus. You know, this world needs Jesus. And that's the answer to all of this stuff, is we need to be able to tell people, just come to Him. That's what we need. That's what this world needs. But let's be honest. That's what you need. That's what you need. That's what I need. And it's so easy to look out at the world and say, oh, you guys are crazy. What are you doing? You need Jesus. It's more than that. And don't get me wrong. Don't start writing emails. It's more than just that. And I want to show you in a verse, in several verses, how it affects you. And there's a famous quote that goes something like this. I'll probably end up getting it wrong, but it goes something like, if you want something that you never had, you have to do something that you've never done. If you want something that you never had, you have to do something that you've never done. And I think sometimes when we get into the situations that we're in, like right now, you want to get something inside to be able to release and relax all of this tightness and the anxiety and the anxiousness and the cabin fever. And let's be honest, moms, dads, some of you are starting to pull your hair out because it's getting long days. The ideas are kind of fading away. What do I do with these kids now? Those kinds of things. I want to show you, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. I want to show you how to experience a place that you need to experience. Okay, so we're in Matthew 11. And I think you know where I'm going. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We are in my New King James Version. I'm going to read the New Christian Version here shortly. But let's read out this one. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. If you're there, say, oh, yeah. And here we go, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know about you. Some of you need rest. Some of you are running on low, running on empty. So funny, yesterday I went out because my car tag's getting ready to expire. So I thought, okay, it's a good time to get an oil change and all that too. So I'm sitting there and they're plugging that thing in, and they don't let you get out of the car now. So you're sitting in the car and they're digging over you, trying to get up in there. And as he said, okay, what's the mileage? And I turned the button on to show the mileage, and he was doing all that. And he said, okay, you passed the inspection. And he looked over and he said, by the way, you realize you're almost out of gas. And I hadn't noticed that the light was flashing. And I had 7 miles before I was out of gas. I don't know if you've ever been down to the medical center here lately, but there's not that many gas stations around here. There's a couple of, there's one on Holcomb and one on down in Meyerland on Holcomb too. So I turned around just as soon as he gave me the inspection sheet. I went down, made the U-turn, and went back and spent more money than I normally like to spend on gas because you're down here than what you would at a Buc-ee's or something. But it was interesting that I was so interested in getting my car inspected, I didn't take time to check the gas gauge to see if I was about out of gas. But how long has it been since you've checked your gas gauge? Do you feel like maybe you're running on empty, that you're running on low, that you're starting to get down to those fumes of, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to make it anymore? Some of you are there. I feel you. I hear you. I know what's happening at our place at Baylor College of Medicine. The people are starting to get, it's enough. Enough's enough. I'm done. Let's get back to work. Let's get back to normal. Well, there's not going to be that. So you're going to have to pull out something else. And that's what I like about this. Are you in need of rest? I'm going to give you about 5 or 6. It depends on how long this goes. But 5 or 6 steps to be able to allow you a place where you can get rejuvenated, a place where you can get renewed, new life back in. And it's found in these verses, okay? And it's a whole bunch of other verses. So you're going to be able to write in your margins today a lot, okay? So number one, you got to get fed up with where you're at, okay? You got to get tired of being tired. You've got to get to the point to where you want and need and almost forced to make a decision. We are such, okay, me too, lazy people. We don't do things until we're forced to do them. That's why they forced us to wear a mask, because they all knew that if we say, well, it's our recommendation. You don't have to, but it's our recommendation. If you wear one, it'd be better. The amount of the people would not do it. So you had to be forced to do it. And yeah, the Harris County judge, she tried to say, well, we're going to be $1,000 fine or 6 months in jail, and that didn't go over very well. But I knew what she was trying to do was force the hand that you got to be fed up. You got to be forced to do it, or we're just not going to make the change. Sometimes God allows things in our lives to put us on our back, to force us to make decisions for Him, okay? You've heard this story. When I was 19 years old, I got in a head-on collision. I went through the windshield of my car. I don't remember anything, but I saw the aftermath of the car. I have a picture around here someplace. The engine was literally in the back seat. If I would have stayed in my seat, and if I would have had my seatbelt on, I wouldn't have made it. But I was propelled all the way through the windshield of the car out to the pavement, and my mom heard on WJBD radio station that I was dead on the scene. And they rushed to the hospital, the local hospital where I was at. I woke up somewhere in the middle of having a CAT scan on me. And when I got to the hospital, I was hospitalized, and this whole side of my body was not moving. I remember that night in the hospital, that I had a discussion with God. Maybe, no. It was more like this. God had me at a point where he was having a discussion with me. I finally stopped because I was forced to stop and listen. Some of us need to get in that mode of, oh, I have nothing else to do but listen now. And it was in the middle of the night in that hospital bed that I didn't have an Oral Roberts experience. God did not come in, and I saw him at the foot of my bed. But as clearly in my spirit as what you're hearing me say verbally today and audibly, God told me, Greg, if you don't make a decision for me and use what I've given you, you'll never get back what you've lost in your body. You're going to lose it. That night, I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ. And I said, God, you got my attention. I will give my life to you. The next morning, I woke up. I had full function of both my arms and hands. And I got out in the next day or two. God woke me up and forced me to be on my back to listen to him. Sometimes we have things that happen around us in this world and the situations we're in that causes us to get in situations to where we say, I'm fed up with what I'm doing. I want to make a decision to come to him. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you need to make that decision first. That has to be because that's the first word in the scripture. Come. Come unto me. Come to me. So you have to do that. Ask Jesus into your heart. Are you dissatisfied? Are you upset? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you experiencing pain? Now's the time to come to Jesus, get to him, and let him help you through it. I want to read a version of this scripture. Same scripture. It doesn't change the meaning of it anyway, but it makes it a little more easier to understand. I want to use this, okay? Matthew 11:28 goes like this. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens. Anybody? Anybody fall into that category? Want to raise your hand? You want to text me? You fall into that? Yes, I am tired. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, and there's a reason for the heaviness. There's a reason for the heaviness. I don't have this written down, but the reason is you're not allowing margin, room in your life for clarity. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute in a more specific step. I'm not going to hang on to that too much because I have several points, but that's a good one with the sermon within itself. If you're tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and then learn from me. For I'm gentle, I'm humble in spirit, and you're going to find rest for your souls. Now, for the yoke I share with you is easy to wear, so the load is light. Are you tired? Fed up? At the end of your ropes of you carrying the load all yourself, then the invitation is for you, and it's from him. Come to me. Come to me. Some of you are emotionally burnt out. Some of you are physically burnt out. Some of you are spiritually absolutely at the end of your rope. Some of you are financially, you don't know what you're going to do. And I can keep going through the Lees. Some of you have the whole Lee family with you, emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, all of those, relationshipally. I don't know if that works. You have all of that. Come to him. He will give you that rest. If you are overloaded this morning, you have two choices. And the two choices, you may want to huddle up. You can break down or you can break through. The two choices are yours. Which one are you going to decide to do? Now that you're at the end of your ropes, why don't you give what this chubby preacher is trying to explain to you this morning? In God's word, get God's word inside of you to help you bring this point of pain, hurt, anxiousness, trauma, stress, overload, whatever, to a breakthrough situation. And God will show you how to do that in his word. And these verses show you step by step how to do it. First of all, make a decision. I'm tired of the way I am. I want more. I want more. If you are to do something, and I get this all the time. I get this all the time. People say, Greg, I want to do something great for God. I want to do a mighty work for God. Do you? If you do, then to do a mighty work of God, you got to have a mighty word of God in you. That means you need to do the word of God inside of you. Get into him in a mighty way. And that process will start. Come unto me. Before I spill this whole thing. Come unto me. Second thing. First, you have to get fed up. The second thing you have to do, we already talked about it, I just said it. Come to Jesus. Come to him. There's three verbs in this verse, in these verses. Come, take my yoke, and learn. Three different verbs. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You will experience that. First of all, it does not say, and don't get me wrong, this verse does not say, come to church, come to religion, come to rules, come to rituals, come to workshops, come to webinars, whatever. It doesn't say any of that. The verse says, come to me. Come to Jesus. 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 That's the place. Of course we need church. Of course we need fellowship. Of course, but we need Jesus. That's the key. That's the key. It's interesting that it doesn't say anything else but come to me. Notice in the Bible, check me out if I'm wrong, and I'm glad when you all do that. It makes me happy, makes me proud when you check me out and go, well, I thought you were kind of goofy on that, but you know, I checked it out. But this is how I read the verse or whatever, and I love that, so don't. People in God's word came to Jesus for all kinds of different things in the Bible. Forgiveness, healing, advice, eternal life, to criticize, to question, to be a skeptic. Tough word here. Jesus doesn't care why you come to him as long as you come to him. He'll fix what's in you if it was the wrong reason or wrong motivation to get there. But you need to come to him and just let him know. I'm stressed, God. I'm worried. I'm overwhelmed by all these kids all the time, every day, all day long. Come to him. and he's going to give you something. Rest. John 6:47. Whoever comes to me, I'll never reject. I want to see that in another version. John 6:47. Turn that to yours. John 6:47 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Whoever comes to me, I will give you life. He won't say, I'll make you do this, 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 and this, and this. He won't say, as long as you jump through this hoop and this hoop and this hoop and this hoop, then you get this. It says, come to me, I'll give you life. That's where it's at. You're thirsty, you come to the well, you're going to get the water. There's no preconditioning of that. Just come to him and it'll happen. It doesn't matter, and this is important, it doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter about your present. It doesn't matter about your future. You come to him and he will give you life. That's it. So don't try to justify, or don't try to clean up your act, or don't try to say, okay, wait, I'll wait till I get here. Come to him exactly as you are, and he will take care of you. Matthew 11:28, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your soul. You know, he's not talking here about physical rest. How many of us seriously need rest for our muscles right now? Our bodies need rest. In reality, probably our bodies need exercise. Our bodies need more work. The muscles haven't been moving so much. We need to be able to do a little bit more. A little jogging, a little walking, a little weightlifting, a little treadmilling or whatever, some sit-ups, some pull-ups, some push-ups and all that. We probably don't. Our body doesn't need that. He's talking about rest for your soul. Rest from stress. Rest from anxiety. Rest from expectation of others. You need rest inside of you. And the only place to get that is at the feet of Jesus. It's not a pill, not a bottle. It's at Jesus' feet. That's where you get that. So get fed up, make a decision that you want to change. You need to change, and then come to Jesus. Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives power to those who are tired and worn out, and he offers strength to the weak. And then another verse or two later on, my favorite verse, Isaiah 40:31, those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. There's a word in there that's important. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Wait. Wait. You come to him, and then you wait. Notice that that is opposite of what the world does. Notice that is opposite of what everybody expects you to do. You want to be filled with busyness. You want to do more. You want to take on another task. You want to end up doing more. What can I do to get closer to the Lord? Come to him and wait. Wait. Take him in. Take him in. Experience him. Don't get so antsy that you have to get something and get it now. It would make you so uncomfortable, would it not, if we all get everybody back into the church? And I'm talking everybody that our Faith Springs, we just have 200-300 people just crammed in that building Sunday. And I stand up and say, here we are. This is what we're going to do today. And then say nothing. And just sit there. And take him in. That's what some of us need. This time isn't. You may be looking at a bad. Doesn't have to be a negative time for you. This could be a very positive time for all of us to come to him and take him in. You have time to do that. And if you don't, with the situation you're in, with kids running around and tearing up the house and messing it up, just as soon as you clean up a room, they mess it up. Then if you don't have that time, I want to encourage you to make time. Set aside some time to be able to just come and wait on him. And there's some ways to do that. Matthew 6:6 says, find a secluded, quiet place so you won't be tempted to not be yourself before God. Come to him. Find a secluded place and be real with him. Another one. We got a few more minutes, so hang with me. I hope you're all still awake. Oh, I'm going to start preaching now. Get fed up with what you're in. Make that decision. Come to Jesus. And then, oh, do I have to say it? Give up control. Okay, there I said it. There I said it. Give up control. I like control. I like being able to decide when, where, and how, and why, and all of that. I like that. But to give up control, the only thing that God wants you to control is, you ready? Write it down. Self-control. To control you. He wants you to get yourself in control. He said, wait, Greg, I don't believe that. Don't email me. Don't text me. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. God wants you to have that. That's part of who we are when we're one of his. The only thing that God wants you to be in charge of and in control of is self-control. Keep it under control. But he don't want you to control your husband or your wife. He doesn't want you to be in complete control of what happens at the office every day. He doesn't want you to be in complete control of everything at church. He doesn't want you to be in complete control of all your children's decisions for the rest of their life. Where I gave birth to that child, I need to control that child until I die. No, that's not what it's all about. That's not the purpose of it. Give up control. And this is how he shows it in this verse. Come to me. And then he says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you. I'm not talking about the yolk of the egg, the egg yolk. We know better than this. It's that board that hooks around the neck, harness up here of ox or cattle or whatever you're yoking together, and then it hooks you to another beside them, 2, 4, 6, whatever. But in this case, it was 2. Put my yoke on you. Here, the yoke with him. And there's a reason for us to be yoked with Jesus Christ. Because, I love this, but he gives us an indication that the yoke is light, that the yoke has a purpose. And the purpose of a yoke is to be able to share the load. It lightens the load. Come unto me, take my yoke upon you. Two things. Two symbolisms that the yoke represents here. One is a partnership. I am with Christ. Christ is with me. We're a team. And the other one is control. Psalm 55:22 says, put your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load and I'll help you out. The control, when I'm yoked with Jesus, we move together in the same direction and at the same pace. It's impossible to go in a different direction. And it's impossible to go at a different speed. When God's in control, when Jesus is in control, he has us going down a path with him. And you can picture this. You and Jesus, you're going down a path. You decide to go off this way. Jesus says the yoke's on us together, and he pulls you back with his word, his will, his spirit, his comfort, his guidance to keep you going on that same path together. And we all want to do this every now and then. But if you stay in God's word, that keeps you from doing that. That's the path that ends up getting you back with him, back linked with him in that yoke. And then if you decide, hey, here I am going with Jesus. I want that and I want that now. And you start pulling away and trying to get that done as fast as you can. Jesus says, hey, wait, it's not time yet. Relax. It's not time to be in that new church building. Relax. Stay with me. Hang with me. I'll lighten this load, even though you don't think it is. I'm in control, Greg. I'm in control, each and every one of you. I have you here. Hang with me. But then every now and then, we do the same thing. Jesus says, hey, wait, I'm moving, and you're still way back here. And Jesus says, wait, come on. Come on. It's time to make that decision. It's time to make that move. Come up to me. When we are in sync with him, when we are in sync with God and his word, then the burden is light. It's easy. He carries it. The problem is when we get out of sync, we start having Jesus is the same today, tomorrow, forever, yesterday. He hasn't changed. He's right here. We start getting all the way over here and we're pulling at him. And I want to let you know, you can't even get Jesus to do this. You're pulling against yourself over here. You're causing that to be your own fight. Most of the problems that we have in our life isn't our arguments with the devil, isn't our arguments with Jesus, it's with our arguments with ourselves. We're battling ourselves. And Jesus says, wait, just come to me. Just come to me. Get in my word. Get in my word. Spend time with me and partner up. And we'll go on this journey together. And I promise you, he carries the load. He carries it all with him. Now there's a little secret here. If you're going to be yoked to something in life, and if it's not Jesus, it's going to be something else that drives you and pushes you. If you're yoked to something else and it's not Jesus, the stress is going to come. because you're trying to live up to somebody else's expectations. You're trying to do something because somebody else says do it, and you feel like you're forced to do it. I played that game for years in the ministry. I tried to keep everybody happy. And you know when you do that, you don't make anybody happy. And now the older I get, the grayer that I get. In reality, sure, I want you guys to love me. But I don't think your love for me is based on what I do. I hope it's not, because if it is, it's not love anyway. But you're a special family, so I know that's not the case. At the end of the day, I want to sit back there in the recliner and try to get some sleep and make sure I make God happy. It's an audience of one, me and him. I don't know who you're trying to impress. I don't know who you're yoked up to. I don't know what's going on in your world that's causing you the stress, but I want to let you know if you're fed up with it, come to Jesus. Yoke to him. Give him the burden, and he's going to help you with it. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Well, I'm not even halfway through, but I want to throw this one more in. Before we go to the last one, I want to hang on to this yoke for a second. To give up control. Because the problem is, let's be honest, I'm trying to look straight into the camera here, but the problem is, and I want to be honest with you, most of you that I'm talking to on this webcast, and it's going to be listening to it around everywhere, don't have just one yoke upon you. You have 2, 3, 4, 5 multiple yokes. Let me tell you, you need to drop all those yokes. And I'm serious. I'm so serious. And put on the one with Jesus. The expectations of other people have to go. This is about you and him. And if it doesn't fall in line with that, let it go. You can't be everything to everybody. The fact is, you don't have just one yoke on you. You have way too many. Make a decision, me and Jesus, and then see what happens. And then I'll say the last one just because I know we only have a couple more minutes. Learn to trust. Come to him. Take the yoke. Learn from me. The Greg Williams version. Worry less. Trust more. Easy for me to say, huh? No, it's not. I'm not going to write a book about it, but you wouldn't want to know what I went through. That I'm going through. Worry less, trust more. I need to hear that this morning. I need to take a chill pill. I need to trust that we'll eventually get back in that building. Well, great, you make the decision. Just do it. You can't just do it. You got to think about everybody's life and the right timing. That would have been just like Moses. God just saying, hey, Moses, just go ask Pharaoh and take the people and go. That wouldn't have worked. It has to be the right timing. It has to be the right way. It has to be God's will. So I need to worry less about it and just trust in him that he will make that timing just right. And then when we get back in the building, we got to go look at the new building and go, well, why don't we just go ahead and move into that one? It's not time yet. It's not ready. Getting closer, but it's not ready. Worry less, trust more. And I need that. Learn from me, Jesus says, for I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. And you're going to find rest for your souls. Greg, give up control. I wish I'd call everybody's name out right now. Give up control. God does not need a co-pilot. God is perfectly able, perfectly capable of flying and driving your life exactly the way it ought to be. And the reason I don't want to give up control is two things. Aggression. I don't want to wait. I want it now. And arrogance. I think I can do it better. Ouch. Give up control. Let God do it. Let God do it. Well, I think I better stop there. Yeah, because we're getting about out of time. I have so much, and that's one of the things about this is you can get into these verses and ended up spending 2 hours on this and not knowing it. But let me read the key verses to you again. Come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye heavy laden, overburdened, and I will give you rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, refreshing, and recreation. Amplified version. But it's pretty good. You'll find rest, relief, ease, refreshment, recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what the world needs now. We all need that. And you find it in the one word, come. Come to Jesus. That's where it's at. Hope you needed that word today. I know I did. Mamas, I want to let you know that we love you. Hope you have a blessed day. Kids, just love on mom like you have never loved on her before. Just let her know. Do that little secret that I ask you to do. I'd love to have mom to take a picture of it and send it to me. I'd love to be able to see if anybody created anything or drew a note. Maybe personally, you don't have to. But if you want to, you're welcome to, and I'll respond back to each of the kids. I'd love to do that. Would love to have you on tonight, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock tonight on Warriors of Hope. The video worldcast is going to go around the world. I've been talking to New Zealand all week this week. Wonderful people there. Been doing a webinar in California with some wonderful people there. But I would love to have you be with us tonight. If you want to know more about our church, let me know. I'd love to talk to you more about that. If you want to find out when we're finding out more about getting back into church, we're going to let you know. Hopefully middle part of the week, I'll make a decision about this Sunday, probably Wednesday or Thursday, and we'll get the word out if it's going to be this week or the following week. But love to have you all be there. And again, we appreciate your tithes and your offerings and your support. Feel free to get online and do that on the line or mail it in or just call the church office and say, hey, how do I get that to you? We need everything that we can get right now. Obviously, this is a rough time for a lot of churches, and we're included in that mess, so in that world. Let's close with a word of prayer. I know I'm right at 11 o'clock, and we'll make a short prayer here. Dear Lord, we just ask that you take the words of your word and your holy word, word of the Lord, that he said, and may we apply it to our hearts, and we put it inside and we experience the rest that you can give, it will just come to you and spend time with you. Lord, show us how to do that. Give the mamas a special day. Comfort the hearts and the souls for those that this day isn't so special, that it brings pain. The Lord be with them and let them know they're loved. And I'm so glad you said that one line. It wasn't good for man to be alone. Awesome line. And I'm glad you created moms. You're an awesome God with an awesome heart. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Join us right here next week, no matter whether we are in church or not. We will be here live on this webcam, on this webinar, Faith Springs Live, every Sunday from here on out, whether we're in the church or not. Have a great day. Have a good Mama's Day. Miss you. I love you. May God richly bless you. See you soon. God bless.